Jesus into the city of Jerusalem. Isn't that something? Just think about that. Before I have my lovely bride who's going to read this story of Lazarus, I want to set the scene a little bit. You got to imagine, Brenda and I had the privilege of going over to the Holy Land. How many have been to Israel, to Jerusalem, Israel, Holy Land? I was going to bring my slides, but Brenda said, no, don't do that. I won't do that. But this particular portion, if you can visualize in your mind the gate. This is the Golden Gate or the Eastern Gate, which is there in Jerusalem, and it's right overlooking the Kidron Valley, right across where you'll see the Garden of Gethsemane, and then the Church for All Nations, where Jesus, just before he was betrayed, he spent the night in prayer there. But the week before, right, is he was entering into the city on a donkey, and the celebration. And you have to understand, historically, the Hebrews would teach that Messiah will enter through the Eastern Gate into Jerusalem. So you've got to picture this. So here is Christ himself, before he is going to give his life for the world, he enters into Jerusalem through the Eastern Gate, and they're crying out, Hosanna, oh Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then a week later, they say, crucify him, crucify him. Give us Barabbas. Isn't that something, the fickleness of people? But here we are. This is the setting of Lazarus is really the first or the last real big incident in the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead happens just at this time of the year. And so I'm going to kind of break my tradition because I didn't have tradition. And I'm going to be traditionally talking to you today about the fifth week of Lent. And this is the celebration of Christ, really Lazarus, dying, being raised from the dead, and Christ making his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But let me tell you, people, that the entire world recognizes this. The entire world, even Muslims feel and believe that the Messiah will enter through the Eastern Gate. Isn't that something? They rule and dominate that area right now, so they have blocked up that entire gate. So that there's a graveyard in front of the gate. So it's really interesting, but they even teach that the Messiah will come and enter in through this gate. And believe me, when he comes the second time, those bricks and those things, they will be torn out, and the King of Kings will march through the Eastern Gate or the Golden Gate. So that's pretty exciting. But this setting here of Lazarus could be about 4 months even before the actual Passion Week. But I'm going to have my wife, she's going to read this scripture about this last. And if you turn to John chapter 11, and we're going to go through 44 verses. So it's going to set the precedent for this morning. And I'm going to be talking about the three lessons that we learn from this story of Lazarus. Okay. Understand the setting here. Bethany is about 2 miles east of Jerusalem. This was a very favorite spot for Jesus and the disciples to even come over to the house of Mary and Martha, as we see in the other Gospels. But this is the only portion of Scripture where we see that Lazarus is talked about. Isn't that interesting? John wants to show us a little more intimate a picture of Jesus in his life and in coming to Bethany, because they would relax and they would have, I'm sure they were pretty, well, they probably had some money. They had some influence. And this was a real popular spot for Jesus and his disciples to rest. Brenda and I had the privilege of being there as well. And also going to Bethany, we saw the tomb, right, where Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth! And then there's a church there in Bethany too called St. Lazarus, the St. Lazarus Church. But isn't that something that this incident happened? And as we reflect, certainly Jesus was trying to make some type of a statement to his entire followers, because if you look at what happened to Lazarus, this was a foreshadow of what was going to happen to Christ. Just in maybe a week or 2 weeks, or maybe a month or 2 months, depending on the timeline that this actually took place. Isn't that interesting? Where Lazarus died, they put him into a cave, they closed up the tomb. He was there 4 days. Jesus was there 3 days. But then Lazarus comes to life as Christ was risen from the dead. So it was a type and shadow of what was going to happen to Christ too. So Christ was demonstrating this miracle before everyone that was actually even going to happen to him just shortly in the week following. Isn't that interesting to note? But besides that, there are three lessons. There are many lessons that we can extract from this passage. But I want us to look at three lessons this morning that we can see from this story of Lazarus and how we can apply it to our life today. So the first lesson here that I want us to look at, if you're keeping notes, is that, number one, Jesus' delay did not mean a denial of their request. Let me say that again. If you're writing notes, Jesus' delay in coming, remember, because he waited 2 days, he had gotten the message, he was up towards in the northern part of Israel, and they had said, come, because Lazarus, whom you love, is in need, he is sick. But Jesus took 2 days before he even responded to that request. So Jesus' delay did not mean a denial of their request to come. All right? I'll say the other two lessons and we'll go through these carefully. I've got some time here. Second lesson we learn is that Jesus showed his compassion in a human way. Jesus showed his compassion in a human way. Third lesson that we'll talk about this morning is that death is not the end. It's the beginning of a new resurrected life for the believer. So we'll talk about those three. Let's go back to number one. Jesus' delay did not mean a denial of their request. As we see in verse 21 and verse 32, Mary and Martha were very fond. There was this relationship that they had with Christ. He said that he loved him. And here's what Mary and Martha said, both of them individually. Lord, if only you would have been there, Lazarus wouldn't have died. If only you would have been there. Let me ask you this. How many of you have had trials and tribulations, some really big things that have come your way, and you have said, if only I would have been to the hospital early. If only I would have had that doctor appointment sooner. If only that person wouldn't have drunk that alcohol and this tragedy. If only, you know, this would have happened. Many times we live in that world, if only this would have happened. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't go the way that we think it's going to go. And here, Jesus was trying to make a statement to these people that he loved. He said, this person has fallen asleep, and this is going to be for the glory of God and not, you know, for this person to die. How many times have you prayed for some situation in your home? Maybe you've prayed for your child. Maybe you prayed for your grandchild. Maybe they've been astray. Maybe they're the prodigal son or prodigal daughter, that they've gone out on their own and they're not serving the Lord now. And you've prayed and God's not hearing your answer. He's not hearing your prayer because he's not seemingly answering your request. Well, you know, I have an older brother. There's five of us boys, and all of us are serving the Lord today. But the oldest one, He was going to be drafted into the Vietnam War. And instead of being drafted, he decided to sign up. So he signed up for 4 years in the Navy. And that was probably his demise, because when he got into the Navy, all hell broke loose. Because now he was 18 years old and he was about to see the world. And he went to the Philippines and did his own thing and got involved in all kinds of mess over there. And then he came back to the United States and got involved with a cult, and he started to do his thing and that thing. And all the while, my parents were praying for him. I remember them saying, "Lord, please, you know, we're asking, Lord, for you to intervene on his behalf." Well, let me tell you, that took 15 years of praying. But certainly God heard the cries of mom and dad. And Paul not only came back to the Lord, but he is serving the Lord well over in Denver. And but the thing about it is, you know, we have so many. If only I wouldn't have been so hard on them when they were growing up as kids. I remember hearing my mom and dad talk about that. If only we would have done that. If only we would have intervened on this situation, on this behalf. We were too harsh and too hard. Well, you know what? We humans, we're not perfect. But God does hear the cry of His faithful servants. And our timetable isn't God's timetable. We live in this fast-paced society. We want it our way. We want it now, right? And you can have it. You know, we live in this generation that we expect things to have things our way. Well, you know what? Sometimes our ways are not God's ways. But thanks be to God that He does answer our prayer, and we don't have to fish in that lake of if only this would have happened, if only that would have happened, because He had proved Himself. And then if you remember in verse 23, it says, Jesus said to them, "You know what, Mary and Martha, your brother will rise again." I know he will rise in the resurrection. No, they didn't understand. Your brother will rise again. Let me tell you, the word is for you today. The prayers that you're praying for someone, your brother will rise again. Your sister, your daughter, your grandchild, they will rise again. Because all things are possible to them that believe. We need to have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed and speak to the mountain. If the mountain shall be removed and cast into the sea, if we don't doubt but believe, all things are possible. We need to grab a hold of God's Word and believe God's Word and not let go. Because if we keep on asking, what we will receive. You keep on, it says, "Knock, ye shall receive. Seek and you'll find. And ask and it shall be given to you." So we need to take God's Word. We need to keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, never give up, keep trusting and believing that all things are possible. Do you agree with that? All right, I thought you were out there. Because your brother, your sister, the person you're praying will rise again. Second lesson that we can take from this story of Lazarus. Jesus showed His compassion in a human way. This verse, right, this is I always remember as a little child, we have to have memory verses like you did this morning. And I always said, I got my verse memorized, Mom, this week. John 11:35. Jesus wept. So yeah, that's the shortest verse in the Bible. And not too many places, right, do we see where the God in the flesh demonstrated His emotions. But isn't that something? That Jesus wept when He saw Mary and Martha weeping because of their brother dying. Jesus was moved and was touched with compassion in His heart. And the God-man wept. Because he saw the grief and the sorrow that was going through Mary and Martha because of the loss of their brother. Let me tell you what, people. We need to be broken. We need to have the compassion of Christ rest on us. Let me tell you where this came really alive to me. Many times as a pastor, I was on the other side of going to the hospital and praying over people. Laying hands on them, anointing them with oil, praying the prayer of faith over them, believing that God is going to intervene on their behalf. And I kind of take that for granted sometimes, you know. But there was a time. I've only had surgery one time. And I'll never forget this. I had a man that was in the hospital that kind of was a chaplain. And I was totally unexpected. I went in. I didn't let anybody know I was going to have surgery, right? This guy comes in. And he said, "Pastor Tom," he says, "wow, I saw that you were on the list. I'd like to pray with you. Can I do that?" And I'm telling you what, I began to weep. Because I had somebody that had compassion on me, right? And boy, was that a most memorable experience to me. He came and laid hands on me. Of course, that was just before they gave me something to make me feel really good. It put me out. But I'm telling you, I'll never forget that time. Ken Stevens was his name, and he's not doing very well mentally right now because he's an older man. But I'll tell you, that compassion that he had on me made it such an impact on my life. You know what, people? Each one of us can have compassion even today. This week, if you know somebody that's going through a rough situation, have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, "Can I pray with you concerning a situation? Let me agree with you." Hasn't that done something for you? When you are touched, see, he wasn't told to come, right? A lot of times they call me, "Pastor, come and see me." And I'm just, you know, I'm going to go and see him anyway. I'm going to pray for him. But man, when you're not asked to go and pray for someone, and you come up to someone and you say, "Can I pray with you concerning that situation?" I'm telling you what, the compassion of Christ can be released through you. Isn't that something? God can use you to release the compassion and the healing power of Christ Himself through you and through your life to someone else. That's a powerful lesson to learn from this, that Jesus, even though He was God in the flesh, showed compassion in a human way. And it's okay to cry. It's okay for you to show. You know, us men, many times, you know, us macho men, we don't like to let people see us cry. It's okay to cry, guys. It's all right. In fact, I enjoy crying. There's a healing virtue to that when you're able to release tears, just like Jesus did. But the key is here that God cried for man. Isn't that something? God cried for you and for me. Especially when He was on the cross. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Can you imagine the God in the flesh showing that type of compassion and that type of love? So let me tell you, we need to show compassion to others by visiting in times of grief, sorrow, pain, and crying. By showing them that we care. It brings great comfort. Got so excited I